But whether we like it or not, Christianity is a mystery religion, or a religion in which mystery happens. Lots of it's perfectly straightforward and perfectly plain, but there are still some things that are beyond our ability to understand. And if you're like me, that's kind of frustrating. I like to be able to understand things, or at least, let's be honest, I like people to think that I understand things if I don't really do it. And I come up against all kinds of things in what we believe in Scripture that are beyond my ability and beyond all of ours. And we've talked about this often. Mystery is important and we need to recognize it for what it is. There's the mystery of eternity, something we'll never understand because there was always a time when we weren't. We may be immortal, but we're not eternal. And so we'll never really understand that. We'll never really understand the Trinity. We can talk about it, we can get some sense of what it means, but three in one and one in three is not our experience. It's not something that we can fully grasp. And the Transfiguration actually kind of fits into this as well. We talk about the Transfiguration every year. It's the last in this little section of ordinary time that's sometimes called the season of Epiphany, right before Lent. And as I was thinking about this, I realized that I had more questions perhaps than about some other things. And so the sermon title is just a question. Transfigured? What could it mean? And then why does our lectionary readings, why do they go the way they do? Well, I think there are some things here in the structure of the lectionary and then obviously in the texts themselves that are useful for us to think about. And we read first about how Moses, his face was radiant, that he was changed in a visible way when he spoke with God. And he needed to use a veil that he could, so people wouldn't see it fading, which I've often wondered about that. What was the point of that? I understand lots of this story. I understand people being a little concerned when Moses came down from the mountain and his face was glowing. I mean, if that happened today, we'd probably think he was radioactive. But at a bare minimum, we'd think he was odd and unusual, and I can see why we would want to run away. And then when we understood it, we go, oh, I see. But that Moses felt the need to hide the fact that this would fade seems sort of odd to me. Nobody thought Moses was God. Nobody would have thought that he had somehow become like God just by being with him. And his concealing the fading, I'm not quite sure what to do with that. It's one of those things that seems strange to me. But there it is in Scripture. We see that the encounter with God changed Moses in a profound way. And then when we flip over to our epistle reading, we read Paul talking to the church at Corinth in his second letter, and he references Moses and his glowing face, but he says, we're not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from seeing it while it faded. When we drop down a bit, he says, but we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And then obviously the source of today's name, today's label in the lectionary or in the church year, Transfiguration Sunday, comes out of our gospel lesson, where Luke tells the story of Jesus being on the mountain and being transformed, transfigured into something that no one had ever seen before, and Moses and Elijah show up there with him. And it's an extraordinary moment that Peter doesn't know what to do with either, other than say we should just stay here forever, which makes sense to me. But the mystery comes with this whole idea of why. It struck me this year, perhaps for the first year, that maybe that we have the Transfiguration scene, we actually have it kind of backwards. That the Transfiguration was the rest of the time. And Jesus wasn't so much transfigured on the mountain as revealed in his true self. I don't know that I want to go to the wall for that one. There's all kinds of potential problems there, I suppose. But it struck me as I was thinking about the transfiguration that this change that Jesus had, why is it there? Why isn't it explained? I want things to be explained. And it just isn't. And as I was doing some extra reading on what other people think of the transfiguration, because, I mean, I certainly don't have the answers to everything, even the things that are simple in the Bible. And often when we read other people or we hear other people, they trigger new ways of thinking for us, so it's really valuable. And I was reading somebody who was talking about this mystery and talked about how the disciples were given a glimpse of the divine reality of Jesus, a vision of his godliness, his holiness. She goes on to say, of course, they want to analyze and preserve it for all time, an impulse that we all recognize. We want to get it right. Jesus doesn't allow that to happen. He preserves the mystery for their sake and for ours. We don't have to know everything to know enough. And I often take comfort in that when I come to the edges of my knowledge and look into this vast ocean of ignorance that's beyond there. An ocean I didn't even know existed when I was younger, as many of us did, when I was quite sure I knew all things, or at least everything that mattered, and now I realize how little I know. But I come to this whole idea of the transfiguration, and I look at these texts together, and I ask the question that I ask every week, what do these texts say for us? What do they say to us for this time? Because one of the other mysteries of our faith is the mystery of Scripture, how through the Holy Spirit it speaks to us where we are now, over and over again, even as our now changes to different, sometimes dramatically different things. And as I was looking at these texts, what I came back to, as much as anything, was Paul. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And I looked at transfiguration not just from the story in Luke, but I looked at transfiguration as it relates to us. Paul says we're being transformed into his likeness, into God's likeness. And I think if we want to look at it in one way, we could say that we are being transformed into such a being that eventually we also will have that look that Jesus had on that mountain. It's not going to happen right away. And I think Scripture is pretty clear that it's not going to happen in this life. That at the end of things, no matter where we fit in the whole notion of Wesleyan perfectionism and things of that theological bent, it appears that at least for most of us, I've got to be careful with these things, but for most of us, the vast majority of human beings, we will achieve perfection when we see God face to face, either at the end of all things or at the end of our lives. And then the transformation will be complete. We're being transformed now. And perhaps part of what Jesus was displaying on the mountain to his disciples and then to us through the story in Luke's gospel is that this is what we're moving toward. Not in the sense that we can somehow achieve it now through our own efforts. But the mystery of the incarnation is that Jesus was fully human even while being fully divine. And while we will never be that, where does the divinity and the transfiguration stop and the full humanity of a perfect human being begin? We don't know. It's another part of the mystery. But it reminds us that there's so much more to us and for us than we often see. Paul tells us we're being transformed not into nicer people, although hopefully we are, We're not being transformed into people with more self-discipline, people who behave better. Although all those things come with it, we're being transformed into the likeness of God, who we know best in Jesus. Unbelievable when we think about it. At least when I think about it, because I know me. I don't know you. I can't say everything about you, although I know you as other human beings. But I know me, and the notion that I might be transformed into the likeness of God is an extraordinary thing. And as I was thinking about this Sunday, as I was thinking about what do these texts have for us today, for this day, I wondered if perhaps it was the reminder that yes, we are being transformed. Depending on how we're feeling about ourselves in any particular day, we find that hard to believe. Some days we find it impossible to believe. Some days we think we're actually going backwards. But I don't think we are. Instead, we look at who we are now, and sometimes we have to take it on faith that we're being transformed. But for most of us, we look back a year or 10 years and we say, yes, we are different people. Certainly not perfect. Certainly not at the end of this road of achievement, but closer. We are nicer people. We are better behaved. We are more pleasant. We are more self-disciplined. We're all of those things, but those are outcomes of our transformation where we are closer to who we will eventually become. As we talk about mysteries on this day, one of the mysteries to me is why we live in a fallen world at all. It's a mystery with considerable frustration for me, and I'm sure for you. We read at the beginning of the Bible, the world was created in perfection. And now it's not. And we can talk about that transition as much as we like, but we're now here where we need to be transformed. And we don't really know why. We believe that an all-powerful God can do anything and everything. We also believe that Scripture is true, and for whatever reason, this makes sense to God in a way that perhaps it doesn't to us. And coming out of that is a transformation, a transfiguration, if you will, of us into beings that we were created to be, not just as we are. Jesus' transfiguration appears to be instantaneous on that mountain, which is one of the reasons why I sometimes think that, to use the Old Testament image that we have, the veil was removed. But whatever it was, his transfiguration was in a moment. Ours is a lifetime. And so the sermon title that's the question of just transfigured is one of those that's answered, as so many questions in Scripture are, with yes and no. Yes, we are transfigured. Yes, we are changed. Yes, we are being transformed, but we're not done yet. I am immeasurably further along the road of becoming more like I'm supposed to be, more Christ-like now than I was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. Heaven forbid, 40 years ago, you talk to anybody who knew me then. Well, let's just put it this way. They're still kind of shocked that I do this, even after all these years. Yes, transformation happens, and it's happening. It's happening to all of us. Because one of the things that happens when we move into this relationship with God through Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into us and indwells us and changes who we are, not making us into something that we're not, but making us into who we were supposed to be, into the best of us. It's a process that continues our entire lives and will be perfected, as I said, when we see God face to face, whether that's at the end of all things or at the end of our lives. And this then becomes a Sunday and a message of hope. And sometimes we need to hear it more frequently than others, that we are being transformed, that God is at work in our lives. And if that's the message you need to hear today, I want to tell you that. You are being changed. The Holy Spirit has not forgotten you. You are being transformed to become more and more the image of God, which means more and more into the being, the person you were created to be. Perhaps it doesn't feel like that. We all have those times. The reality of Scripture isn't that we will sometimes be transformed if God feels like it. No. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Pretty clear. No, it's not done. But it has unmistakably begun. And it will continue until that day when it's made complete. And as we wait for that day, when we ask ourselves, are we being transfigured? Are we transfigured? Yes. Yes, we are. Not quite done. Still work to do. But yes. Amen.